call this meeting to order at 6:10 p.m. Start with quickly taking attendance, and then we'll move on to other items. So, attendance. Please bear with me. I don't have an attendance sheet, so I'm going off of last week's votes and proceedings, and the names are quite small. So please bear with me. President Kinda, Vice President Rahman.
Here.
Vice President Hanwal, Vice President Bondarchuk, Vice President Kwan, Governor Khan.
Here.
Ms. McKinley for Councillor Allard.
Yeah.
Councillor Tronson.
Here.
Councillor Zhang.
Here.
Councillor Burton.
Here.
Councillor DeYoung.
Here.
Councillor Schlamp.
Here.
Councillor Angus.
Here.
Mr. Rodrigo for Councillor Patches.
Yep.
Councillor Jonathan.
Here.
Ms. Prasad for Councillor Chang. Councillor Yusuf.
Here.
Councillor Patrick.
Here.
Councillor Wong. Jason.
Here.
Sorry. Councillor Yu.
Here.
Councillor Singh. Councillor Christensen.
Here.
Councillor Doan.
Yeah.
Councillor Flamin. Councillor Hodgson. What's your name, sorry?
Alyssa Chabot.
Okay. Mr. Ahmed for Councillor Roussel.
Yep.
Mr. Samal for Councillor McKinnon.
Yes.
Councillor Kwan.
Here.
Councillor Duan.
Here.
Councillor Adamaj.
Here.
Councillor Kevin Wong.
Here.
Councillor Xu.
Yep.
Councillor Mostafis.
Here.
Councillor Lewis.
Here.
And I'm here. Wonderful. It's probably not going to be very clear. All right, so. The next meeting of Students Council will take place on Tuesday, June 2nd, 2015 at 6 p.m. right back in this room. Couple other items to note. The uploading of documents and items to the website, we had a little bit of a glitch, so they started doing that stuff today. So if anybody tried to look for the order papers before today's meeting on the website, they weren't actually there, but they will be from here on out. Also, you should all be receiving emails from the council listserv. Is anyone not receiving emails from the listserv? Did anyone not get, for example, the late editions for today's meeting by email? Anyone else? Okay, wonderful. All right. I believe that's it for speaker's business. We'll move on to presentations, of which there are none. Executive Committee reports. Vice President Rahman, do you wish to make a report?
I'll just add to my report that contact was really fun. I was glad to see a lot of counselors, FA executives, and GSC members come up. I was really happy with the turnout and the communication of the members.
Thank you very much. With that done, we'll wrap up executive committee reports. We'll go on to board and committee reports. Do any members of any boards or committee chairs wish to make a report? Governor Khan.
Hi, everyone. So we had a board meeting for May about roughly 10 days ago. Before I speak about, I'll be making regular board meeting oral reports, but before I go into that, I just want people to understand that there are a lot of confidential and privileged material that's being discussed, and that if I do seem like I'm not giving full disclosure, that's the only reason why I'm not doing so. Speaking again about the meeting itself, so the meeting, at least the open portion of it, started off talking about India's trip to India, and a large part of the discussion was basically about how we can better facilitate a better relationship with the country in terms of moving students not only from India to coming to U of A, but also students from U of A back to India. Some of the stats that I thought were pretty impressive was that Canada is now number 3 in the world in sort of a place for international students to go to. We've overtaken UK. The only two countries above us right now is Australia and the US. Part of that discussion, some of the questions that I asked was, in how exactly are we targeting essentially Indian students within India? What it appears to me right now is that we're targeting private high schools within India and recruiting from there. One of the issues I also had was in terms of admission criteria. One thing that Indira did mention was that currently, as far as she understands, the grading system in India is much harsher in high school than it is here in Canada. And despite that, as far as admission standards are concerned, like their grades are taken at full value compared to ours, despite it being much more difficult. And there are some concerns with that, and there's a need to...
Thank you very much, Governor Khan. Any other members of any boards or committee chairs who wish to make any reports? Councillor Shang for CAC.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to echo the Vice President Academic. Thank you to everyone who came out for our GovCam. I had a really good time, as indicated by my WhatsApp messages on Saturday night. It was really fun. I really had good body experiences with almost every councillor, which is really great. As for CAC, so as of right now, we are working with the Vice President Student Life to get either passes or all-access passes or t-shirts to get student counselors into the WOW events. And this is to promote you guys mingling with the students as well as our voters. So it's an opt-in system where, like, if you're a counselor and you would like to participate, you can opt in to get a shirt, and you will have access to the events. You will not be able to skip the lines, however. We're still working on the details of that. We might add some conditions where if you decide to get the shirt, you have to participate in some of the campaigns that the executives decide to take on. So that's one thing that you'll be hearing from CAC, and you are welcome to come to our meetings to talk about it at our next meeting. CAC has also decided that we would like to take on the mandate of sharing the progress of the legislative agenda. So I will be drafting up a terms of reference for the committee of chairs, which I will present to CAC in the next meeting, and then if it passes, it will also come to council. So be prepared for that. And I also have mailbox keys. So for any chair who hasn't gotten one of these from me, please grab one. You will set up a mailbox at the SU office, the outward-facing mailboxes. This way, if your committee meeting, which most of them are after 5 p.m., the administrative assistant can put the meeting agenda and whatever documents you need in the mailbox, and then you can go with your key, you can pick it up that way. There's no confusion as to where it's going to be at or not be able to get it because the office is already closed. And yeah, so if you haven't had, go have one of these, please come grab it from me. And yeah, that's all.
Thank you very much, Councillor Zhang. Yes, Councillor Kevin Wong for NomCom.
Hi, everyone. I'm Kevin, and yesterday is when we had our meeting for NomCom. As you know, NomCom primarily deals with filling empty positions for student and large to sit on. And one of the items for business is that we wanted someone on the council, chancellor search committee that's coming up soon. And the biggest problem was that in the 2 weeks that the advertisement was out for, only a single person applied, and that person was in contact with a member of council. So we're thinking about looking into different advertising strategies, and I hope that all the councillors will help me out in this aspect. There will be a Jobkin ad coming up soon, and I will send that to like everyone either through email or post it on Facebook, and I hope that you just share on your social media platforms or tell your friends who you know are interested in governance into applying for this position. Just because I feel like having a single person apply for such an important position doesn't really allow us to filter through and select the best candidate possible for this. So that's all I require from you guys. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Councillor Wong. Any other reports? Seeing none, we'll move into question period. There was one written question from Councillor Kwan to Vice President Rahman. Would it be possible for the Students' Council to get an update on the progress of the Peter Lougheed Leadership College? The answer being, thanks, Councillor Kwan, for the question. Unfortunately, I don't have an update around the PLLC. I haven't had or set up a meeting with anyone from the steering committee, though I'll bring it up when I speak with the Vice Provost, Academic Programs and Instruction on Wednesday. Councillor Kwan, do you have a follow-up question for Vice President Rahman?
No, I don't.
Wonderful. So we'll start our first 15 minutes of question period. Any questions from the floor? Councillor Yusuf?
My question is for Governor Khan. Do you have anything more to discuss about the board of the governors of the
meeting? Thank you for the question. Yes, I do. Beyond the stuff about India, there's also been a lot of discussion about changing the way classes are taught. There was a professor in surgery who was talking about basically a flipped classroom setup. And it was very interesting in that the person was trying to lecture through like YouTube videos and podcasts. And so when you would come home, you would basically watch these videos, and they're all free, and anyone in this room can access them right now. And when you would come to class, you would be doing more critical thinking, asking questions. And he was talking about the pros and cons that he's had about it. And for the most part, I was pretty impressed by the style. And I hope that in the future that we can see more of these class styles. With that all being said, I think the most hardest discussion that people are probably wondering about is Doug Goss and his comments to news reporters. To those of you guys who don't know what happened, Doug Goss, along with four other business members, basically had a meeting and had a lot of press come out, and basically they all spoke in favor of the PCs. And obviously the major complaint right now is the fact that this person is a university board chair, and he's publicly stating a political stance. And that looks bad on U of A, especially considering the fact that the NDP are now in power. In terms of that discussion, at the end of that meeting, what happened was basically a bunch of cameras coming out to speak to Doug Goss, where he apologized profusely for the comments that he made. And other board members also spoke in favor of him, basically stating that we need Doug Goss during the transition period, with so many new changes and overturn happening, and that Doug Goss is the right guy to guide us through that process. I figure there's going to be other questions fired at me, but look forward to hearing them.
Thank you very much, Governor Khan. We'll move on to the next question from Councillor Zhang.
My question is for Councillor Brunson. Can he briefly talk about his work with the bylaw committee?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and thanks to the Councillor for the question. I was going to make a report during bylaw committee reports, but I wasn't sure if I was able to do that not being the chair. I suppose that would have been a good time for a point in parliamentary inquiry, but whatever, here we go. The bylaw committee is beginning a process of initial consultation on a review of our elections bylaws, and so I wanted to make council aware of that. This is a process that's going to be probably taking up most of the summer, and since we're starting now, I wanted to have council aware as soon as possible. I'm going to be meeting with a few relevant stakeholders over the next few weeks, I hope, to get their input as to what the major failings of our current election bylaws are. If you guys have any feedback having just run in elections, I imagine some may have some concerns, but anyways, that's what we'll be up to for the next little while. So, thank you.
Thank you very much. Councillor Christensen.
Just a question for Kim Nguyen. About the person who applied for the number one spot, will they be reconsidered after the next application, or will they have to reapply again?
Wait, can you repeat that?
The person who, like, will leave on one applicant?
One applicant.
Will they have to, like, are they now, like, disqualified, or will they get to be part of the consideration next?
So, to answer Councillor Christensen's question, what we're doing is we're extending the applications by another 2 weeks. So this person is still an applicant. We did not disqualify them in any way. They're still a valid applicant. It's just that we want a bigger applicant more than one. Yeah.
Thank you very much. Councillor Flyman.
This question is also for Councillor Kevin. In your report, you mentioned that the one applicant and then you mentioned something about council. I didn't quite get to repeat that. Like, related to or...
So the reason why I was addressing council is that I want the councilors to help me in advertising this position, just because the one person who was aware was a friend of Vice President Roman, and Vice President Roman knew about this position in Moto. Without enough like advertisement, especially during the summer, we won't get a decent response. So I will post a link to the job ad when it's ready, and I hope that the counselors will be able to post on their social media or share with friends that they know who are interested. This way we can get more people to apply.
Thank you very much. Councillor Flynn.
If in the next 2 weeks any other applicants do not apply, is it going to be extended again, or is that...
So the request for a member of student at large for the Councillor Search Committee was brought forth by Vice President Dylan Howell, and he said that he would be willing to extend it until June 1st, which is 2 weeks from now, and that's the furthest that he's willing to do it because he needs someone on that committee by then.
Before I get to Councillor Adamage, one thing to remember when you're asking questions, please refer to somebody. It's weird to say it this way. Please refer to people in the third person. Avoid using words like you or your. Use their or a counselor or the member of council or something like that. Because technically when you're asking a question, you're not addressing the person. You're addressing the speaker, and the speaker yields the floor to the person to answer the question, if that makes sense. So, Councillor Adamage.
Thanks, Mr. Speaker. My question is to the Board of Governors representative. I am asking if the representative, as the representative of the SU to the Board of Governors, believes that the chair of the Board of Governors is truly the person that should lead the transition from president to president, not only considering his comments that he's made in recent weeks to the media, but his history of actually being involved with the past governing party, and as well being involved not only as a donor, but as actually one of the chairs of party functions during campaigns. So I believe, is he the right person to actually keep good relations, especially with the new government coming in?
Thank you for the question. I'm not going to put words into President Kim's mouth, so I'll only speak on my own personal opinion. I do think that Doug Goss is the right man, at least for the transition period. I think if you are looking for change, all I would say is be patient. But as for right now, there's a significant amount of overhaul going on, especially with the president and the provost. And having more change happening on the board, like, it's just too much happening at once. And you also have to keep in mind that, from the student union's perspective, it is important about what the reputation of U of A is as well. And having such news pop up, especially while he's under fire, just brings more and more negative attention towards U of A. In terms of personally, like, you're right that there is a strong PC leaning, but I've also seen the man criticize the PCs as well in public forums. And I don't think I personally would want to persecute someone based off of what they made it, what I believe was as an individual. When I look back at the news articles that happened, like, you see the insertion of U of A being mentioned there by the news reporter themselves, as opposed to what the comments were actually said.
Thank you very much, Governor Khan. Councillor Lewis.
Another question for the Board of Governors. So it was mentioned earlier that, I don't know if it was Professor on the Board of Governors or someone related to it, was looking into flipped classes. Do they have any actual research within the student populace? Are they attending any outreach to figure out whether students are actually interested in these flipped classes? Or is this just from an individual class's experience with that?
Thank you for the question. From that presentation, I didn't get that information. with that being said, I do know that there is a lot of academic support for this type of classroom, not through that, but because there is a flipped classroom set up right now in the law faculty from our criminal and evidence professor. And from that period, like, you kind of see, before he started the class, he kind of showed why he wants the type of class he does, as well as like why the benefits are the way they are. I remember him bringing up statistics, but if you want, I can give them to you later. I'll probably try and contact this professor and try to see if I can supply with that information if you like.
Like a parliamentary inquiry?
Yes.
Governor Bonds answer.
There's no way to do that unless he yields the floor to you. But yeah, that's the only real way to do that. But it's too late now. Sorry.
I'm sorry. What did you hear about that?
He just wanted to build on what the governor was saying about the flipped classes. So someone theoretically out of this room could ask Vice President Rahman a question about that, say if he had anything to add or something along those lines, but I don't want to push counsel in one direction or another. Because you put your hand up, Vice President Rahman, I had you on the speaker's list, but I'm assuming that I should just void that.
Yes, please.
Councillor Lewis was next.
Just a question for Vice President Rahman, because it seems like you have something to say on the topic of flipped classes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker and Councillor Lewis. There was a university digital strategy committee that existed about 2 years ago. It had a representation from the student union, the academic. So we have been consulted on the university strategy for online learning for flipped classes going forward. I'm not sure what our exact formal consultative committees are right now, but I know that digital learning has come up at both the University Writing Committee as well as the Committee on the Learning Class.
Thank you very much. I had a bunch of other hands go up, and I'm assuming those were just questions to Vice President Rahman. But I'll go to Councillor Jason Wong.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This is another question, sorry, two questions.
Just go one at a time.
Another question for your representative. What metrics was Canada measured to be number three country for international students? Or which
thank you for the question. I don't have it off the top of my head, but it's something I can notify the president and have that question answered for you.
Any other questions? Councillor Jason Wong.
I have a question for Representative Wong. Are there any other countries or provinces that have marks adjusted upon entry to the university or during the application process? For example, Alberta students a few years ago at least applying to University of British Columbia had 4% added to their high school average. Are you aware of any similar things for other universities?
I'm not 100% sure what your question is, but from what I understand is that do international students get any added benefit to their grades when coming into U of J?
Or other
provinces? I'm not aware what other provinces do. That's probably in their own privileged information. But as far as U of J is concerned, they take the marks just flat out what you have. And they mark it on par with what Canadian marks are.
Thank you very much. Are there any further questions? Councillor Youssef.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. My question is for Councillor Hornsley. It's about the elections. Are the bylaw committees open for any councils to attend just to listen in and offer their feedback?
My short answer to the councillor is yes. I'm happy to discuss with him further. Again, it is tremendously early in the process, but we are hoping for a lot of council support and engagement with this project going forward. So, still early, but yes, overall.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for the question.
Councillor Lewis.
Another question for the Board of Governors representative. I apologize for having come on this. It's just I've heard a lot of negative. comments were earlier, is it incorrect to assume that you mean from, like, professors and, like, teaching assistants, not so much from students?
From what I understand, from what I understand from your question is that what am I hearing, at least from the academics at U of A, as opposed to just students?
I'm sorry. Earlier you were speaking about academic support for flipped classes. I'm inquiring as to whether when you say academic support, you mean strictly professors and teaching assistants rather than so much the inclusion of students and the exception of that.
Okay, I'm trying to answer the question. So about the actual research that backs up the flipped classroom?
Yes.
Okay. I don't know the specifics of it, to put it bluntly. That's information I can try and get for the student union, but at the moment I don't have it on that.
Thank you very much. With that, our first 15 minutes is expired. I currently don't have anyone on my speakers list. So unless I see five placards, we'll move on to general orders. Seeing none, we'll close question period. We'll skip board and committee business because there is none. Then we'll go into general orders, item 7A. One, Rahman moved to appoint the following students to the Senate: Marina Bannister, Mackenzie Martin, and Braden Redman. I'm assuming that's Kevin Wong?
Yes.
Correct?
Okay. Should I specify next time?
Just put K.
Okay.
So I'll give Councillor Wong an introduction if he would like.
Yeah. Okay. So these three students were not selected in the previous meeting, like, of this term. This was selected last year. So this was the previous nominating committee with, I think it was Vice President Ortzuk as the chair of the nominating committee. And so they filtered through all the applications for Senate positions from students, and they decided that it was going to be these three individuals who are going to go on it because they received the highest votes. I believe Marina Bannister received 5 out of 6 votes, whereas the other students received 4 out of 6 votes. So those are the highest out of all the applicants that they've reviewed through. And the committee has agreed that these are the three students that need to be appointed to the Senate. I really don't know exactly what the details are for the selection, but I do know that the previous nominating committee did go through with the process, and they settled on these three students. So now I've brought it to council just so that council could approve of it. And I really don't know what happens if we don't, because there really isn't any more time to look for, like, another three students to appoint to the Senate. It's already long overdue. I think it was supposed to be due at the beginning of the month, but it's been delayed until now.
Thank you very much, Councillor Wong. Before I get into the speakers list, I'll just say this. If you're going to speak to specifics on each of these individual candidates, it might be prudent to move in camera if it's just going to be general comments. Like, mostly in terms of if councillors or members of council have specific concerns with one or more of these candidates, we should move in camera. If members of council are generally in favor of this, we can stay ex camera and keep debate open. If we move in camera, please let me know, because the people who are in this room have to sign confidentiality agreements to be able to stay in. But we'll go to Vice President Rahman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just to build off of what Councilor Wong said, last year, nominating committee, they solicited resumes and one just letter of intent from everybody who applied. They conducted an electronic ballot to see who the top candidates were, and there was a relative consensus about who they were. I'm not sure how to do this properly, but Marina Bannister's name is spelled wrong. There's one too many
ends in Bannister. Ends in Bannister, yeah.
That's all.
Is there any further debate? Seeing that Marina's name is spelled incorrectly, this might be a good time for a motion to amend the motion so that we can correct that. Yes, Councillor Wong.
Motion to amend Marina Bannister's name in the motion.
to the correct version.
Is there a second for that motion? Councillor Lewis? So I'm assuming what you were trying to say is that from B-A-N-N-I-S-T-E-R, it should just be B-A-N-I-S-T-E-R.
Yes.
Okay.
That is correct.
Is there anyone opposed to carrying this motion as friendly? Seeing none, so moved. So that was Councillor Kevin Wong, seconded by Councillor Lewis. Is there any further debate on the main motion? Seeing none, we'll go to a vote. All those in favor of item 7A, Kevin Wong / Vice President Rahman, move to appoint the following students to the Senate: Marina Bannister, Mackenzie Martin, and Braden Redman. All those in favor, please raise your placards. All those opposed? Any abstentions that wish to be noted? Councillor Patrick. Thank you very much. So we'll move on to item 7B. Rahman moves to appoint two arts students counselors to the Arts Faculty Student Association Restructure Committee. Is there a seconder for this motion? Councillor Adamaj, I saw your placard up. Vice President Rahman, would you like to introduce your motion?
Of course.
Go ahead.
Mr. Speaker, so back in April, back when the Arts Faculty Student Association was having their elections, there was a little mishap when their FADRO, or their CRO equivalent, was a science student. This effectively nullified their elections, which was convenient in some cases because there were a lot of other controversies with their elections. They decided that, that being said, when actually comparing to the student council, they recommended that the vice president and academic of the student union investigate the Arts Faculty Student Association. And following that investigation, they were actually put on probation. Because there are no executives for 2015 and 2016, the VP academic has full control over the faculty association. And Discover Government and I come together to restructure the committee to make it so that we can clear up any potential errors or shortcomings in the current constitution. And just along that topic, so there's going to be three different committees associated with this. So there's going to be one main committee and two subcommittees. The main committee is going to take a look at the constitution and figure out what the executive structure and council structure is going to look like for after when it comes back in September. The first subcommittee will take a look at the finances, just because it still needs to maintain the finances and submit some financial reports to the SU as a faculty association. And the third subcommittee needs to basically run it. So it's going to be there to plan programming for orientation, as well as their general meeting to take place in September to approve changes to the constitution that are made over the summer. And it also needs to basically host the elections. So those are the basic general pieces on the committee. I'm looking for two arts counselors to sit on this committee, because I think it's really important that we bring the students to the union perspective to the new arts faculty student association. And I think the best way to do that is to bring arts counselors. That's why I'm looking for two arts counselors.
Are there any questions for Vice President Rahman before we move into nominations? Councillor Armaj?
This is a question. So my question to Vice President Rahman would be whether or not he sees fit for other counselors of different faculties who may have different faculty association experience with different faculties across campus, whether or not he sees that them being on committee, not as an actual like appointee, but just sitting on committees and possibly giving their experience, whether or not he sees that as an added benefit, something that he recommends.
I was just going to look at other questions.
Oh, sure. This isn't part of debate.
Yeah.
Okay, so mostly if I'm assuming the motion is kind of generally taken by council. If council wants to move later to amend the motion so that it's just two members of students' council or something like that, we can do that afterwards. We'll just go into sort of requests for information from Vice President Rahman, so feel free to answer as the questions come.
Awesome, sounds good. Thanks for the question, Councillor Adamaj. I stick to just having our students on this committee just because the committee's effectively going to be our arts students. That being said, I do think that other counselors and other FA executives can play an important role in making sure that the new CAFSA is the best it possibly can for arts students. The way that I do that is by encouraging the chair of the main committee to take the time to consult with other FA leaders as well as IT counselors and kind of do a call for feedback around how to put together CAFSA. Because that's what happened for the Fauna Restructure Committee. There were so many Yale students, and they were leaving Fauna, the new faculty association for the faculty of Yale. But that being said, I think every single president of an FA was consulted when they were leaving their constitution and
Any other questions? I saw Councillor Lewis is placarded up, but I don't know if you
yeah,
wanted
no,
to.
I saw the question.
Okay.
My question for the my question is whether the Greenland is considered soliciting any of the other FAs as non-voting members. So my the main reason I think it might be important is just rather than reaching out, they just be there for decisions as non-voting members.
Thanks for the question, Councilor Lewis. I totally agree with what you're saying. I think the more feedback, the better. But at the same time, I think that there are a lot of people that could be consulted in this discussion. I mean, we do have 13 FAs on campus, including CASA. And so if you want to include like every single FA, because every FA is unique, it would be very difficult to actually schedule. I'm open to talking about like having one or two FA representatives, but I think it would be most effective to have a totally our students on the committee with voting power and then consult others as needed or as we see that.
Okay, so at this point we'll move into nominations. Are there any nominations for this committee? Councillor Zhang? Councillor Burton, do you accept?
I do.
Wonderful.
Point of parliamentary inquiry.
Yes.
How does the timer work with respect to like asking questions and stuff? So we have 4 minutes total for like questions and answers, and then do we have to make a motion to extend that for a minute?
So with this particular type of motion, like with any other nomination type of motion, the 4 minutes at the beginning are generally, this is how I ran council last year, and if people want to change that, we can definitely do that. The way I tried to run things was that the 4 minutes was used for the mover to introduce what the committee was, what, like general information about the committee, when they would be meeting, what they would be doing, et cetera, and then give the rest of the time to councillors to ask questions, to get more information, to solicit more information, basically. So that we could sort of leapfrog any debate on the motion, because generally for motions to nominate people, there isn't a significant amount of debate. Now, if people were opposed to this motion, then we could certainly take it to debate if people wanted to amend it to, say, have members of Students' Council instead of just arts students, then we could do that. But for these motions, in terms of the introductions, that's how I've been running things. For other motions, in terms of introductions, usually, for example, with your last motion, somebody could have raised a request for information and asked a little bit more information of you during your introduction. That's perfectly acceptable if you want to accept their request for information. If not, then they usually save their points for debate. So, hopefully that makes sense. So going back to nominations, are there any other nominations for this? Councillor Angus.
I'd like to nominate Councillor Dion.
Councillor Dion, do you accept?
Yeah.
Wonderful. I saw Councillor Flamin's placard up.
I'd like to nominate Councillor Tronson.
Councillor Tronson, do you accept?
I respectfully decline.
I saw another placard up in this general area. I didn't see who that was. Nope. Any further nominations? Seeing none, congratulations to Councillors Burton and Dion. We'll move on to item 7C. Zhang, Allard, move to strike the Governance Structure Review Task Force based on the terms of reference attached. Terms of reference are included in the main order papers as item 1. Councillor Zhang, would you like to introduce your motion?
Yes, I would. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. So the Governance Review Structure Task Force is the task force that existed that was created last year. It reviews the governance structure of the Students' Union, and based on recommendations of the final report, I am here to restrike the task force. And with that, can I move into debate?
Sure.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. So this is a really exciting initiative that a couple councillors and Vice President Hodgson started last year. If you guys had a chance to read over the terms of reference in the first paragraph, it talks about a little bit about how over a certain amount of time, the council has been identifying certain problems and issues pertaining to governance, how it's being handled, specifically related to Students' Council. So if you, and also in in the paragraph, it mentions that the governance structure of the Students' Union, as well as the council, hasn't been looked at since 2002, which is a really long time ago. So with all of this, last year we felt like it was an appropriate time to strike a task force to kind of look into if there's any improvements or any suggestions that, or recommendations that the council can make to the council. Also attached is all the minutes as well as the final report from the task force throughout the year. As you guys, if you guys had a chance to read it, you can tell there's a lot of different topics that were discussed, and the task force was struck in the middle of the year, so we didn't really have any time to come to any solid recommendations or suggestions for Students' Council, and because of that, the final report done by Vice President Hodgson recommended that we strike the task force again this year. And the terms of reference is the same as last year, with just the dates and months changed to reflect the new school year. However, the purpose as well as the makeup of the task force committee members are the same, which includes two executives, four staff members, including the general manager and the director of political affairs and research, as well as four counselors, four students at large. And yeah, it's a really, really good project. I think that it's always good to make sure that we, there's not really a vice president or, I guess, a department of the Students' Union that looks at the internal governance structure. So I think it's really good that we have something to fill that void. So please vote in favor. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Councillor Zhang. Is there any further debates? Vice President Rahman.
I would actually like to motion to amend the terms of reference.
Okay.
To include one member of one executive of a faculty association under the membership list. So where it says four VPs, there's like two VPs, four staff and yes, four members of the Students' Council.
So one faculty association representative?
Yeah. One parliamentary
interview? Yes.
If I want to ask questions about your amending motion, when would that happen?
So if Vice President Rahman's motion is carried with a seconder, I'm assuming that's Councillor Christensen, Vice President Rahman will go into debate, at which point after he introduces his motion, we can go into debate on this particular amendment, and then you can ask your questions or bring up your points of debate during this particular period, after which we'll vote on the amendment. If the amendment carries, we'll change the terms of reference. If it fails, we'll keep the terms of reference as they were, as set out originally in the order papers. Then we'll go back to the main motion, then we'll continue debate on the main motion. Does that make sense? Clear as mud?
Cool.
Okay. So we had Vice President Rahman, seconded by Councillor Christensen, move to include one faculty association representative. Sorry. As a member of the Students' Union Governance Structure Review Task Force. Vice President Rahman, would you like to introduce your motion?
Of course. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. So last year, I actually sat on this governance review task force committee, and at the time, I was in the Executive and Faculty Association. I found that I was bringing my perspective as an FA executive to the committee frequently, and I do think that based on what I've heard for potential items of discussion at this committee, there's going to be a lot of talk about how faculty associations fit into the governance of the Students' Union, and that's why I think it'd be really important to make sure that we're properly consulting them throughout the process, and making sure that they are stakeholders on the same with the final recommendations of the budget board. That's why I'm asking for one FA performance again.
Thank you very much, Vice President Rahman. Is there any debate on this particular amendment? Councillor Lewis.
Considering there are like 13, 14 faculty associations, I don't really see how a single representative is going to have to do like all 13 faculty associations.
Thank you very much, Councillor Lewis. Councillor Kevin Wong.
Like Councillor Lewis, I have the same concern. Like having one member from an FA on it wouldn't exactly represent all of the FAs. And I'm not quite sure if I understand. Like, I believe that the Students' Union Governance Structure Review Task Force is more for like the Students' Union proper. I can see the value of having executives and representatives from Students' Council and Student at Large and all of these positions, but I'm not quite sure what exactly the role of the single member from FA
Thank you very much. Go to Councillor Christensen.
Vice President Roman could maybe touch on what we spoke of at Maukupa and kind of the agenda and how we discussed this topic there. I think that might help.
We'll go to Councillor Patrick.
Mr. Speaker, thank you. I am in favor of this amendment. I think even though it would only be one FA executive, the purpose of having the FA executive isn't to represent that faculty. It's to bring just a different type of governance structure, that perspective, into the task force. And I think one would be sufficient for that.
Thank you very much, Councillor Patrick. We'll move on to Councillor Jason Wong.
Just another question for Vice President Yuan. Would this task force possibly have the ability to recommend changes to faculty associations and their governance structures and policies?
Thank you very much, Councillor Wong. We'll move on to Councillor Flamin.
I would also like to vote in favor of the amendment to echo Councillor Patrick's sentiments. Like you said, the one faculty association member on the committee doesn't represent that one FA. If we could implement a system where they represent the interests of all the other FAs, where the FA executive could report to them, they could in turn report to the council. So I don't see any reason why one would be insufficient.
Thank you very much, Councillor Flamin. Councillor Tronson.
Disregarding my statement, it's more suited to the main motion.
Okay. I have you on the list for the main motion, so you're first person up after that. Mr. Samau.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd also like to speak in favor of this amendment. What the previous two councillors have mentioned as far as gaining consensus from different faculty associations, I think that this would be a mechanism put in place by utilizing students part of COFA. So if the representative could be named by COFA, we would go around the problem of having one representative from 13 different faculty associations. So everybody's heard through COFA and through the governance structure review task force.
Thank you very much, Mr. Samau. Councillor Adamaj.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to ask Vice President Academic what review process would be made, how do we choose which FA rep, is this through Students' Council or is it through, as you mentioned, COFA? Just a bit unclear with that.
Thank you very much. Councillor Angus. Is that, was you had the same question as Councillor Adamash? Yeah.
If we were to, we would be an amendment to say that the, this faculty association representative would have to be nominated by COFA, but we have to make it separate amendment to the main motion?
So, because you've only entered one layer of amendments, you can have a second layer of amendments, but that's it. If you want to, so you can move to amend, basically, but you can't move any more amendments on top of that until things are sort of dealt with, so you don't fall into like the abyss of amendments forever. So, Councillor Zhang.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm kind of not sure about this amendment. I support it because I think that we should have a FA perspective, definitely. There is a lot of conversation in the governance review task force last year regarding how FA should be, not how FA should be structured, but how should the relationship between the Students' Union, maybe Students' Council, should be defined with the FA, especially when it comes to the counselors of the faculty being represented. I also think that during the conversation did revolve around council a lot. And I feel like some FA representatives may not have the scope to really understand, just because they're not a counselor, to understand what the governance structure entails. However, I don't think that that should prevent an FA from representative from sitting on the committee. I would like to provide a little context. There's also a, so last year, committee struck a subcommittee, which actually did research. So the committee met biweekly and the subcommittee met biweekly as well. And the subcommittee was mostly made of staff members, but also some representatives to do research on governance review structure, governance structures around Canada, as well as dig into the history of our own governance structure. And I think that whether or not we vote in favor of the amendment and have a FA representative sit on it, I would encourage the members of the new governance review task force to incest subcommittee, to first of all strike the subcommittee once the committee has its first meeting, but also to, in that research process, consult as many stakeholders in the governance structure in the university committee community as possible. Whether that is a duplicate of the work, I'm not sure, but yeah, I'm not too sure about this motion, but that's just my thoughts.
Thank you very much, Councillor Zhang. Is there any further debates before we get to Vice President Rahman and his 8 placards that he has in front of him? Seeing none, we'll go to Vice President Rahman.
Okay. I'm sure the question, I really appreciate it. So, Councillor Lewis and Councillor Kemba on having one faculty association executive. I think that as an FA executive, we go through a lot of shared experiences with other FA executives. And so, we're not necessarily seeking what works best for every single faculty association, we're seeking feedback on what works best for faculty associations in general. And the reason I bring that up is because I believe one of the motivations for this was the fact that SU bylaw 8100 kind of exploded a little bit last year when the law students moved to support the parking modifiers. That's the time where it was unclear what our SU bylaws did about how faculty association could go about advocating against political policy. And that's one discussion that I was going to be really good at this committee, and that's the reason that I really want the faculty association to be represented here in this committee. You could just invite FAs to come in for that discussion particularly, but I know that's not going to be the only one, and I think that could be a kind of administrative conversation, just have someone short for it. It's definitely like, I do think the subcommittee, which was happy to have the Research and Exploration Committee, as if it's got an asset, that big committee, I do hope it takes the time to consult with every single faculty association to see how final relates to them. And I think that's the best way to include all leadership of the faculty associations, as well as the administrators and elsewhere. In making sure that the faculty association and the youth nominated committee have the representative support of COFO when they are. Now, going back to Councillor Christensen's question, I brought this up at COFO on Sunday, and they were interested in having one faculty association executive sit on this committee. So, for the most part, I'm bringing COFO's wishes to the attention of council. They'd really like to have at least one FA executive sit on this committee, just so that they aren't being heard, because I know that a lot of changes at this government's new task force could impact them. They are members of the Students' Union, and they are important in my opinion. When it comes to recommended changes, I answered that a little bit before. SU bylaw 8100 really impacts faculty associations. It outlines what their constitution at the bare minimum needs to include and what they need to do as a bare minimum at the time of transition. So if we want to get about the entire standards, what we expect FAs to do, that's one place outside of just adhering to political policy that could impact faculty associations. And finally, for the selection process for a faculty association executive, I would likely go with Discover Governance and co-presidents of that. So make sure that they have to support both Discover Governance as well as every single faculty association of that.
Thank you very much, Vice President Rahman. Councillor Patrick, with your second speaking turn.
Point of information.
Sure.
As the terms of reference currently read, would a student at large be allowed to be a faculty association executive?
Yes.
Kate, is there any further debates? Councillor Lewis.
So I think you brought it up earlier a little bit. I think VP Roman brought it up earlier, the concept of having research and exploration subcommittee consulting FAs when it comes to things specifically related to the MIC bylaw 8100. It was also commented on the concept that it would be administratively clumsy. At the same time, though, including a representative that doesn't directly, that won't be directly impacted by most of what's going to be discussed, like we already heard from Councillor Zhang, I think. Yes.
a lot of it was about council, and I don't really see what FA representatives can bring to that discussion. I feel like in those kind of situations, they're going to end up kind of falling out of it a little bit if they don't have that type of information. So I don't see what exactly prevents us from asking that committee to consult these FAs rather than actually appointing them to it. Again, I still think one representative rather than, let's say, three, when it comes to a group of 13, while they have shared experiences, there's a lot of different perspectives on those experiences, which is why we have things like COBA, because not everyone in those 13 FAs from those experiences are all going to be like, aha! Like, or they're not going to all think that aha leads to this rather than that, which is why we bring them together with you to have these discussions. I don't really think appointing one of them to look back on the whole 13 and say, so we had a meeting and I thought this happened, is going to be the best reflection of that committee or of the COBA at the same time.
Thank you very much, Councillor Lewis. We'll go to Councillor Duan.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would like to speak in favor of this amendment because while I agree that one faculty association member cannot represent all 13 faculties, I think a similar argument can be made for how can four students at large represent all, I don't know how many students, 30,000 students. It's just that we have another added perspective. And on the point of them not knowing enough about council, I think the same argument can be made towards the students at large as well, which is why I think that it's important that we have the perspective of faculty association members, despite these types of arguments brought out, because they can be made for the students at large as well.
Thank you very much, Councillor Duan. We'll move on to Councillor Zhang.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I am now leaning a little bit more in favor of this amendment. My original hesitation, which I've already brought up with Vice President Rahman in our conversations, was that I felt like that just thinking back to the scope and the discussions that we've had on the committee, it does seem like that it was very council-focused. And when it was talking about the FAs, it was more focused on what the council relationship with the FAs would be. But now that I think about it, I think that's actually a result because there were no FA representatives on it last year. And some of the stuff that we talked about was like, how do we build a relationship? Do we need to build a stronger, like, communications methods, or maybe we should have some extra bylaws, like making sure the FAs are more monitored. Whatever those conversations were, now thinking back, I feel like it was very beneficial for us to first of all have the Vice President on as a student at large, because he was able to get that perspective, as well as we had counselors, I think three counselors who were all part of their FA faculty associations. And that was also very beneficial. And just thinking back, I think that the conversation would be steered more towards FAs and the relationship with council as it should be if we have an FA representative. So I will be voting in favor of this motion.
Thank you very much, Councillor Zhang. Councillor Christensen.
I just again want to speak in favor of this. Particularly, having a council of faculty associations doesn't have a lot of influence as it is right now, and which is unfortunate because it is like a group of people who represent the faculty associations. And I think having discussed this, there was a lot of interest at the COFA meeting we had, and I think that kind of saying to them now, no, we don't want your input after we've kind of discussed and they were on board with having representation and being part of the conversation, I think it would be like almost less like a, not so much a slap in the face, but just not following through on something that is probably a good idea to do. If there's interest, then we can get someone selected by COFA who maybe has a little more interest in council and in fact the associations, that we would be able to maybe alleviate some of the concerns that have been brought.
Thank you very much, Councillor Christensen. We move on to Councillor Kevin Wong.
I agree with what a lot of councillors are saying about we do need sort of faculty association representation on this, but I'm not quite sure whether having one FA member is the best way to achieve this. I was wondering whether Vice President Lamont could possibly reconsider this and maybe find something alternatively. If not, I will vote in favor of this motion.
Thank you very much, Councillor Wong. We'll move on to Councillor Patrick.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to call a question.
All right, so Councillor Patrick calls the question. There are currently no speakers on the speaker's list. So, as I said on our at our presentation a couple days ago, it's basically moot. I know that, actually, I think Vice President Rahman may have wanted to answer some questions. So in this particular, just for this case, we'll go to, is there a seconder? I saw some a placard go up there. Is there a seconder for the call to question? Councillor Tronson. So a call to question, does everyone remember what a call to question is? Does anyone not remember what a call to question is? Does anyone not know? If you don't know, it's okay, just raise your hand. I'll explain it to you. Okay. So call to question, for those people who didn't need Tylenol on Sunday. jokes. Okay, so call to question for basically those people who may not have been able to attend GovCamp was basically if someone calls to question, and the call to question succeeds, debate ends, and you vote on the motion that is being considered. So in this case, basically, Councillor Patrick, seconded by Councillor Tronson, moved to call to question. If that vote carries, Vice President Rahman effectively would not be able to answer any of the questions that came up in between his first speaking turn and presumably his next speaking turn. So hopefully that adequately explains exactly what it is. Call to question is not debatable, is not amendable, and requires a two-thirds majority. Is that? Yes.
Are we still limited to two speaking turns?
Yes.
Points of progress.
Yes.
I read the original motion to call the question, unaware that there are other speakers who wanted to speak. Can I vote against the call to question?
Yes.
Or even though it's not an
You can vote against a motion that you've made. It's generally very bad practice to do so because when you make a motion, you have the intention of making that motion. A seconder just wants to consider the motion. So if you'd like to vote against or abstain, I can't say that don't do that, Councillor Patrick. Bad, bad, bad. Just say that it's generally not good practice to do so. So if you want to vote against, you can vote against. But, yeah. Anyways, so the call to question was moved and seconded. So all those in favor of calling to question, please raise your placards. Please raise them high. All those opposed? That motion fails. So we'll move on with the remainder of debate, presumably with Vice President Rahman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Can you remind me what the last question was?
I think the last question, I'm not 100% sure. If,
I think
Councillor Wong had a question as to whether or not there was a better method in which to have faculty association representation on. Is that an adequate representation?
That is accurate.
Okay. Go ahead.
Thank you for the question, Councillor Wong. So I did think about this a fair amount, and it's already a fairly good committee, and having sat on the last year, which is tough to reiterate all the meetings, that's why I didn't want to have too many people on the committee, and that's why I thought I had one person with sufficient. Like, ideally, there would be two, just so, you know, like, outnumbered with respect to how many council staff members there are. Can be willing to make
Thank you very much. We'll go to Councillor Xu.
This question is also for Vice President Rahman. So how did the COFA come up with the decision to have
Yes, Councillor Jason Wong.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I think this question perhaps Councillor Brent did answer. Our task force committee is open to the public.
Sorry, Councillor Jane. Yes, you are. Okay. Yes. Yes.
Is there a way to have them talk?
Yes. So if council has an appetite to have more debate from people who have used up their two speaking turns, someone can move to suspend standing orders to... Yes.
Can another councillor request information from me? And request for information since it is my motion?
This motion isn't your motion. This motion is Vice President Rahman's motion.
But...
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I'll answer that question.
Sorry to make this way more complicated than it is, but that's just... Welcome to Robert's Rules and Standing Orders and Debate.
Yes.
Thank you very much, Councillor Zhang, for speaking out of turn. Councillor Flamin.
Flamin, Parliamentary Group.
Yes.
Can we move to suspend standing orders stipulating that it's only to answer questions and not ask, or is it all or nothing?
It's basically an all or nothing thing because there's no real way, unless you want me to just bang my gavel all the time, to try to like police that. That's really the only way you can do that. Usually, in a case like this, someone would move to suspend standing orders to allow for, some people say one more speaking turn, some would say two, some would say unlimited, if there's a lot of appetite for more debate. So you can do that if you'd like. Seeing as there's no one on the speaker's list, I'm assuming that Councillor Flamin would like to make a motion.
I would like to move to suspend standing orders for one additional speaking turn.
Is there a seconder for that motion? Councillor Kevin Wong, is there any opposition to carrying that motion as friendly? Seeing none, we'll add one more speaking turn to everyone's total tally, starting with Councillor Lewis.
I was hoping that DPRMR could just expand on the like pros and cons between expanding it to two FA representatives rather than one, just because you get that second different FA perspective rather than just that singular, and they could both be elected by COPA, and then that way you'd have a greater representation of COPA.
Thank you very much, Councillor Lewis. Councillor Zhang with your third speaking turn.
So to answer the question, the committee... So the terms of reference was kept vague for a reason. Prior to the striking of the committee, Vice President Hodgson had consulted a couple of counselors regarding the terms of reference. As far as I know, no like students at large who are not elected members of the student at large came to the meeting. We did not advertise to the public where the meeting or when the meeting would be. However, and that is because the committee last year had 12 members, which is a really big committee. Have everybody be able to speak so within a 1 hour time allocation of 1 hour every 2 weeks. However, I don't think that it bars any students from attending. That is a decision that the new committee, the task force, would have to decide. As far as I know, last year, no students.
Thank you very much, Councillor Zhang. Is there any additional debate before we go back to Vice President Rahman for him to answer additional questions? This would be a fantastic time for you to ask lots of questions for Vice President Rahman, as opposed to him answering one or two questions and then you having like 10 more questions of him. Seeing none, Vice President Rahman, please go ahead.
It was a committee that was interested, and it just happened that every time that
try to make sure we don't avoid it.
We don't let it be up to chance.
And if they're representative of the tribes, then we still have to chance. Because, like, these type of things actually apply to be on the committee. But if the folks that are four people apply, and the two students who aren't involved with the FAA are better candidates, then they're likely to accept it over here. And they won't be hurt. Because we're looking to make finally, for Councilor Lewis, I thought really hard about it, and I think that if I was idealistic and assumed that it was just so easy to schedule a meeting for 14 people and just get it done, I would probably get into that other representatives. But I think that the committee is like already saturated enough with these activities that having another one is tough. Like, it's the right thing. I totally get what you're doing. It's hard for me to wrap my mind around the aspect of this. That's why our bonds are going to be a semester one.
Thank you very much, Vice President Rahman. Is there any further debate? Seeing none, we'll go to a vote. So, once again, the amendment was Vice President Rahman, seconded by Councillor Christensen, moved to add one Faculty Association representative to the membership of the Students' Union Governance Structure Review Task Force. All those in favor of this motion, please raise your placards. All those opposed? Any abstentions that wish to be noted? Wonderful. So we'll go back to the main motion again. For those people who have forgotten what the main motion was, Zhang Allard moved to strike the Governance Structure Review Task Force based on the terms of reference attached, which have now been amended. So the first person on my list was Councillor Tronson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'll never be brief, but I'd like to speak in favor of this motion. I think any good organization should take it upon itself to review how it conducts its business every so often, and seeing as how the last review was in 2002, I think that qualifies as often enough to look at it again. I just have a brief question for, I guess, Vice President Academic, about which members of the executive should or will be on this committee, if there's stipulations as to whether it's specific presidents or if it's just chosen from within the executive committee by the executive committee members. So I will leave it at that. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Councillor Tronson. That was quite brief. We'll move on to Councillor Ademaj.
So I would like to speak in favor of this motion. I believe Councilor Johnson, there's a need for this task force, especially since that's now in 2002. But I think some change from that. I believe that this task force would aim to better review governance structure in the council and throughout the university. I'd also like to implore our councillors who have experience within structure and governance to their council positions on this task force.
Thank you very much, Councillor Ademaj. We'll go to Councillor Lewis.
Thank you very much, speaking to Vice President Rahman.
No, but everyone still has plenty of speaking turns left. This is back to the main motion, so your speaking turns basically reset. So Vice President Rahman has two speaking turns to use at his discretion. But no, you cannot transfer time during a motion to somebody else. Is there any further debate before we go back to Vice President Rahman? Any more questions you'd like him to answer, or any questions for the mover of the motion, Councillor Zhang? Councillor Zhang, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just to address some of the concern that I heard from members of the council, this committee is a purely advisory committee. It does not have the power to change anything. It has the power to make recommendations to the Students' Council. There are voting members. So the concern I had was like maybe we should have the FA represented as a non-voting member. So the way it works is the first meeting of the committee, the councillors and the executives on the committee have to vote to ratify the other members of the committee. After that is done, every member of the committee becomes a voting committee. But the only thing that you vote on is recommendations to council. And if anything were to change about the powers of the committee, it would have to be a motion done in council to change the terms of reference. So there's no concern about this committee going, you know, really changing the governance structure. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you very much, Councillor Zhang. Is there any further debate? Vice President Rahman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The two executives that we've informally sent to the committee are myself and President Kim. We haven't formally voted on it, but it was a general consensus about the executive.
Councillor Lewis.
I think this committee is really beneficial. Like we said, a couple of times so far, it's the first time in a very long time other than last year. Especially considering that it's an advisory committee, I think it's really important because we have a lot of committees that are chaired by us that can make changes, but I think it's a good thing to have an advisory committee that, while it has some of our members on it, isn't exactly our committee, that can come in and say, hey, you guys should come and do this. So, I'm fine with that.
Thank you very much, Councillor Lewis. Is there any further debate? Is there anyone who is opposed to this motion? All we've heard about is people who are in favor. Is there anyone opposed to carrying this motion? Seeing none, the motion is carried. Does anyone wish to have their abstention recorded? Seeing none, wonderful. So we'll move on to item 7D. Zhang moves to appoint 4 members of Students' Council to the Governance Structure Review Task Force. Is there a seconder for this motion? Councillor Lewis? Councillor Zhang, would you like to introduce your motion?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Speaker. So we just chose to strike a committee. We need 4 members of Student Council to sit on the committee. These are members of Student Council excluding the executive members, so don't nominate Vice President Rahman.
Are there any questions for Councillor Zhang before we move into nominations? Seeing none, we'll go into nominations. Are there any nominations for the committee? Councillor Flannan.
I would like to nominate Councillor Lewis.
Councillor Lewis, do you accept?
Yes.
Councillor Zhang.
I would like to nominate Councillor Eller, so his proxy is for me.
Do you accept?
Yeah.
Councillor Tronson.
I would like to nominate Councillor Zhang.
Councillor Zhang, do you accept?
I will have to say no.
Mm-hmm. Councillor Adamaj.
I'd like to nominate Councillor Christensen.
Councillor Christensen, do you accept? Vice President Rahman.
I nominate Councillor Jason Wong.
Councillor Jason Wong, do you accept?
Yes, as well as Councillor DeJong.
Councillor DeJong, do you accept?
Sure.
Councillor Burton.
Councillor Burton, do you accept?
Thank you.
Are there any further nominations? Councillor Tronson.
I'd like to nominate Councillor Flyman.
Councillor Flyman, do you accept?
I do.
Oh, yes.
I guess I have this one over the right.
Yes. Councillor Zhang, do you have another nomination?
No, I'm good. Thank you.
Are there any further nominations? Wonderful. So, we won't do a preferential ballot because that'll take all night. So I'm just going to explain this, then we'll go into what we've done for nominations previously. Yes.
How many members are nominated?
5. If Ms. McKinley wishes to defer her nomination speech to yourself or something like that, she can certainly do so. Okay. Just in case. So what we'll do in terms of voting is each member of Students' Council will have 2 votes. We'll do a heads-down, hands-up type vote. Please only vote twice. Sometimes it gets really obvious if someone is voting for all 5 people. It just means that either you're not paying attention or you love all 5 of the people who are nominated, in which case, just please try to abide by the rules. So we'll go into the sort of like nomination runoff style of selecting individuals. We'll give each member of council who was nominated 1 minute to speak in the order in which they were nominated, starting with Councillor Lewis.
Hi guys. So
thank you
so much for this committee's dismissal. Councillor, I'm also an executive of my FA. I really hope that one of us on here
exactly from that day because I still really think it's good to have more than one person represented. Main reason I want to be on this committee is because I think it's a really good chance to not only learn more about our government's review system, but also be involved in helping restructure it. Since we're also doing some restructuring in my FA, it's a good chance to share that constituents too. So that's one of the main reasons I'm running. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Councillor Lewis. We'll go to Ms. McKinley.
Thank you. I'm speaking on behalf of Councillor Allitt. I'd like to start this task force as I've been involved in discussions around how to improve the structure of the Students' Union in order to increase our effectiveness as an organization, improve the council experience, better the working relationship between faculty associations and the Students' Union, and increase the visibility of the Students' Union on campus. I sat on the task force last year and ran on a platform this year of continuing my work with that task force. I believe that my knowledge of the Students' Union governance structure, bylaws, and my experience with the task force last year and familiarity with the committee structure generally make me an excellent candidate to help the task force achieve meaningful consultation and insightful conclusions and recommendations to improve the Students' Union. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Ms. McKinley. Councillor Jason Wong.
Thank you, Vice President Wong, for the nomination. I'm really excited to be part of this task force. Also, use my experience with faculty associations and a self-faculty association, if such a thing. Last year, I served as the vice president internal of the Engineering Student Society, and previous to that, I was the president of the first year Engineering Student Society. And from my experience, I know some of the difficulties in some of the difficulties for Students' Union and the faculty associations communicating, especially sometimes in relation to political policy. And I believe my experience with faculty associations and my platform, which was to increase the relationship or better the relationship.
Thank you very much, Councillor Wong. Councillor Dion.
I'd like to thank our VP academic for the surprise nomination. So I think I would do a great job. I'm not going to lie. I think counselor engagement is something that we really need to focus on for this task force, which we'll be working for in CAP, but I think that the task force will be a great place for me to do that as well. That's my biggest thing that I'm really concerned about. I really would like to cooperate with all the other initiatives that people are going to be bringing to the Governance Review Task Force. And I think that's about it. Keep it short.
Thank you very much. Councillor Flamin.
I've got to be honest, I didn't give much thought up until the surprise nomination, courtesy of Councillor Thompson. That being said, I do believe I would make a great addition to the committee. I find it interesting that a large member of the committee is made up of student union staff or counselors, so that the police are policing themselves in a sense. But I would like to bring forth my views on ways that we can circumvent that. Do what we can to keep this organization moving forward.
Thank you very much, Councillor Flamin. So once again, we'll go to a heads-down, hands-up vote. I would recommend refraining from using your placards because they make a lot of noise, and if you don't want people to know how you're voting, just use your hands. If you want to just make your vote super public and let everybody around you know how you're voting, raise your placard if you'd like. Again, vote twice, only twice. Are there any questions before we get into voting? Councillor Kevin.
So vote only twice.
Yes, vote. You can vote not like zero times, you can vote once, you can vote twice. Do not vote three or more times. Okay? So heads down. Starting from the top, all those in favor of Councillor Lewis, please raise your hand. All those in favor of Councillor Allard, please raise your hands. All those in favor of Councillor Wong, please raise your hands. Thank you very much. All those in favor of, in favor of Councillor DeYoung, please raise your hand. Finally, all those in favor of Councillor Flamin, please raise your hands. Thank you very much. So congratulations to Councillors in no particular order, Councillors Allard, Jason Wong, DeYoung, and Flamin. We'll move on to, it's not written this way, but I'm assuming this is how it was meant to be written. Item 7E, Rahman Khan moved to abolish the law faculty membership fee, FMF. Yes.
When is the scheduled break for council meetings?
The scheduled break for council meetings is 90 minutes after the start of council meetings, which technically is in 4 minutes. Depending on how this discussion went, I may have chose to forego that recess unless council really wanted to.
Okay,
if the discussion was taking a lot of time or whatnot. But anyways, we'll just play it by ear. If council wants to forego that recess, we can certainly do so.
One parliamentary inquiry.
Yes.
Are the informations read out, or is it anything, or is this technically the last thing on the agenda that we have to?
This is technically the last item on the agenda. The information items are just information for councillors. So if, for example, all the executive reports will be in information items, any information items could be attached as part of particular motions or things like that. But generally, those are just for your reading pleasure. Any other questions before we move on to Vice President Rahman's introduction of item 7E? Seeing none, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And actually, those are all talk about this person, and I'll pass it to whatever time I have. So, way back in, August or in September last year, the Law Students Association got approval from the Student Council to advocate in favor of Michael Bachar against a few political policies. They did so bearing five particular things that conditions that need to be enacted that weren't part of our group. I believe one of them was increased mental health programming. I'll delegate the five to, I'll let us take care of the five particular things. One thing that did come into effect was having better, I believe, career advising within their faculty. That's something that's covered by their FMF. So every law student right now pays $50 a year in order to get, in order to support career advising within their faculty. I feel like, I might be butchering this right now. Anyways. One of the conditions with the market modifier was that they'd be paying a bit more, but in doing so, they'd be paying for additional career advising support. And that would effectively make their FMF, their faculty membership fee, void, because that would make them be paying double for things. So basically, one of the conditions of the market modifier was if they got this approved, they would get their FMF canceled, and they just paid the market modifier instead. Now that the market modifier has been approved, at the government level, as well as our own board. That happened last month in late April, I believe. They can move forward with that with the faculty, so faculty membership fee, which is not the same as the faculty association membership fee. And they'll be happy because they're paying for what they really know they have. I'll delegate the rest of my earlier. As long as okay, call Mr.
Thank you. Okay. Keep it simple. So yes, the market modifier passed on the board in March, late March, I believe. And basically what this fee is, beyond what the fee is, the LSA basically negotiated, as well as the lawsuits in general, that this fee be removed. And if they agree to the market modifier, that's kind of where we'll see this, the referendum and survey happen, whether we were willing to have the market modifier under these conditions. So, like I said, it passed in March 31st, or late March in general. Afterwards, the LSA set up a motion to abolish it. The next step is basically the student union. What does this mean for you guys? It means that the law students pay less tuition, and it means that that the SU has to do less work. As far as negatives, yeah, I'm drawing blank. I don't know a single negative reason not to support the abolishment of this scheme.
Thank you very much. We'll go into debate. Is there any debate? Councillor Jason won.
Actually, just a question for Vice President Long. Is the faculty membership fee different from the faculty association membership fee in that it goes to the faculty?
Thank you very much, Councillor Jason won. Is there any further debate or any further questions for Vice President Rahman or Governor Khan? Councillor Lewis.
That's Vice President Rahman. My question for Vice President Rahman would be, why does it take until like May 19th, well, the last meeting, what is that meeting for? For this to be brought to council, why wasn't this dealt with the last council?
Thank you very much, Councillor Lewis. Is there any further debate? Councillor Flanagan.
This question is for either Vice President Rahman or Governor Rahman, whoever can best answer it. Being that the law faculty membership fee was negotiated and lumped in with the market modifier, is there a net gain or net loss to the amount that law students are still paying, or is it still approximately or exactly $50 as it was prior?
Thank you very much, Councillor Flyman. Is there any further debates? Before I get to Vice President Rahman, just one quick note on debate during motions. If you have questions, generally during debate, unlike question period, anyone can ask those questions. So if anyone, for example, if Mr. Foster was a member of Students' Council, he would also be able to answer those questions. Okay? So any sort of members of council can answer questions during debates. So it's just a question to the floor. Sorry if that wasn't clear when we first got into council and all that good stuff. So I'll go to Vice President Rahman.
Mr. Speaker, and I'll start with Councillor Houston's specialist first. So with the faculty membership fee, that's a really convoluted fee that was assessed. The law at that time was approved way back in 1997, so it's been law for a very long time. And the only other faculty with a FMF is engineering. It's a very convoluted fee where basically it's assessed by the Students' Union with the approval of the Faculty Association, and it goes straight to the faculty. So the dean has a pure control over how that money is spent, and it's up to the FA to keep the dean accountable of how that money is spent. I hope that we can eventually phase out all of the FMFs, just because it's this weird line in our governance legislation that is one that is not existing anymore, with the law faculty completely being abolished if this motion goes through. If engineering's FMF didn't have abolished as well, we can kind of condense our And the second question was on Councillor Lewis. I believe that the reason it was brought on council was because it had to be approved at the board first. Law students wanted to make sure that the market modifier was approved by the board first. That didn't happen until late March. I do believe that this could have been brought up at the last April meeting of Students' Council, and I'm not sure why. It might have been just delays in communication with the LSA counselor. I'm not too sure, but I'll let Governor's Khan take care of that question. And then with the net gain and loss in these, I'll also yield the rest of them as an effective government office panel. The last few questions. So why is this being brought up now? And are they paying more for their fees?
So Governor Khan, this won't be a transfer of speaking time. This will just be your first speaking turn.
Okay. As far as why it's taking so long, like I said before, that this didn't get authorized by the Board of Governors until late March. The next step in that process was essentially the LSA also motioning to abolish it. Because basically the moment it got abolished, exam period kind of happened. LSA was kind of like more on hold during exam period. But the moment the exam period ended, the LSA had a meeting and had it abolished. We did try to bring it. I did try to bring help bring it in as a late addition and motion it to the floor at the last meeting, but there seemed to have been a certain level of impatience, I felt. So I decided to hold it off and wait until this time to, I guess, have it dealt with. As far as is there a net benefit or cost, I mean, end of the day, the increase for the market modifier is $4,000, and we're getting a $50 reduction. So in that, order, like, the macro sense, no. But then again, I mean, there's a bunch of, like, little, when you look at, like, I guess, how the numbers are dispersed within, it's a hard thing to say because we're not getting the same quality of service from our career advisory stuff before that there will be in the future. And because of that, it's hard to quantify overall if it's a net benefit or a net cost. But for the most part, end of the day, the law students supported the market modifier, the fees that would be associated with that, knowing that there would be an improvement on the career services. I think it would be more than just the $50 within that tuition. For that to be possible, it would have been valued at more than the whatever fee we were paying for the FMF for that to be possible. So we will be probably paying more for that service, but it's with the understanding that it would we'd have a better layout of how it would be improved and the fact that it would be executed that way.
Thank you very much. Before I get to Councillor Patrick's point of debate, we technically have gone through 90 minutes of meeting and one item of business has been dealt with. So technically, we could go to recess right now. It sounds as though this debate could end very quickly. That's just the feeling I'm getting from the room. Please, anyone correct me if I'm wrong. So if council is amenable, we can just forego the recess and continue on with debate. We can all get out of here quicker. We'll just assume that council is cool with this, and we'll move on. So, Councillor Patrick.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Call to question.
Thank you very much, Councillor Patrick. Seeing as there are no other speakers after Councillor Patrick, we'll go right into voting on the motion. So, again, the motion was Rahman Khan moved to abolish the law faculty membership fee, FMF. All those in favor of this motion, please raise your placards. All those opposed? Any abstentions that wish to be noted? Wonderful. So, we've dealt with the last item of business. Assuming there are no items coming from the floor. We'll take attendance again, and then you can all get on your way. So, President Kinda, Vice President Rahman,
here.
Vice President Hanwell, Vice President Bondarchuk, Vice President Kwan, Governor Khan,
here.
Ms. McKinley for Councillor Allard,
yeah.
Councillor Tronson,
here.
Councillor Zhang,
present.
Councillor Burton,
here.
Councillor Dion,
here.
Councillor Schlamp,
here.
Councillor Angus,
here.
Mr. Rodrigo for Councillor Patches,
yes.
Ms. Councillor Chandan. Ms. Prasad for Councillor Chang, Councillor Yusuf,
here.
Nope.
Councillor Patrick,
here.
Councillor Jason Wong,
present.
Councillor Yu, Councillor Param Singh.
Yep.
Please keep all your conversations till after attendance is taken. Just because your name has been called doesn't mean everyone else's name has been called. So please keep quiet until attendance is taken. Thank you. All right. Moving on with Councillor Christensen.
Here.
Councillor Doan. Councillor Flamin. Ms. Chabot for Councillor Hodgson.
Yeah.
Mr. Ahmed for Councillor Roussel. Mr. Samal for Councillor McKinnon.
Present.
Councillor Kwan.
Present.
Councillor Duan.
Here.
Councillor Adamaj.
Present.
Councillor Kevin Wang.
Present.
Councillor Xu.
Here.
Councillor Mustafis.
Present.
Councillor Lewis. I'm here. Close the meeting at 7:50 p.m.